everybody. Thanks for joining us at Digital High. This week, we're going to have a special episode centered just on E3. Unfortunately, Donna isn't here. She ran into some personal problems. I'm pretty sure one of her dolls got addicted to drugs. I'm not completely sure about that. But we do have Marquise here. Hello, Marquise.
What's up?
And we also have Justin.
Hi.
Say hello, Justin.
I said a hello. Hi.
What is your title? What should I say your title is?
I'm the co-founder and CTO, buddy.
Like, more specific. Are you like internet wizard, Justin?
Internet god.
Internet god, okay. And what did you call yourself before? PC junkie?
Yes.
Okay. That's your new nickname.
No. Not allowed.
I mean, Justin, you haven't been on since, what, the Vita first came out or something like that?
The PS Go.
Oh, wait, what's that?
You don't remember the PS Go?
You brought back some bad memories.
Yeah, I have my moments.
Damn, I haven't been doing this for too long.
That was, what, 06, 07?
No, let's not even talk about that. But anyway, Justin's here. He can definitely give us more of the PC tech hardware perspective, since Marquise and I are more console guys. I think that's fair to say, right, Marquise?
Yeah, very fair.
Okay, yeah. And, I mean, I think we just get the big, elephant, gorilla, whale out of the way, which is Microsoft versus Sony. And I don't really like saying Microsoft versus Sony, because either way, they're both going to get our money, at least my money. So it's not, I don't want to say there was a winner of E3, but one company made smart moves and the other one made really, really, really dumb moves. And I think we all know which is which. Marquise, what were you thinking during the Microsoft conference?
I was thinking that, like, there's literally a winner to this and there's literally a loser. And I think Xbox...
But no, listen, like, the Sony one hadn't happened yet. Like, just what you were thinking while you were watching the Microsoft conference.
Okay. So they started off, they opened up how Xbox does and, you know, it was fine. And they came out with games after game after game, and that was pretty cool. I think they showed some pretty interesting titles. I liked everything they showed, including Titanfall. I thought that looked amazing. I'm not really big into multiplayer anymore ever since I became an adult, but but it looked just hella clean and just like it looked fun. It looked really fun. So that looked impressive, and being in an exclusive, I was like, okay, well, they're doing something on Xbox. They are actually showing us what everyone was really thirsting for from their original opening of Xbox One. In that conference or that release, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and it's the Call of Duty guys. And even though I think many hardcore gamers look at Call of Duty in a bad light, like Call of Duty did used to be cool. And it did, even though I still, like I say, every week, it stole a lot of, not stole, but it used a lot of the stuff that Rainbow Six had and it got credit for it. But it did popularize.
It did it better.
It popularized a lot of those things.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you can't play any game now without seeing XP, which is, like, ridiculous, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I digress. Like, but I thought a lot of the games were really cool. I loved that game, or at least the concept for that game from Insomniac.
Sunset Overdrive?
Overdrive. There you go, yeah. I thought that looked pretty interesting. It looked like, again, another multiplayer game, but it looked cool. It looked interesting.
The only thing that bothered me about that is it didn't, they called, Ted Price called them mutants. He didn't call them zombies. But it basically has zombies. And it is there. I mean, you want to call them mutant zombies, whatever. But that's really the only thing that bothered me about it. But I do like that. It probably won't look exactly like that, obviously. But I do like that, you know, Team Fortress cartoony look. I do. And it seems like Insomniac can range from quite a bit. We can either get them having a lot of fun in creating Ratchet, or they seem like they can maybe be bored and stuck with games like with Resistance and Fuse. And this seems like this is them having fun. And when they have fun, we have fun.
For sure. It definitely had like that Crackdown feel to it, right? Like you can just pretty much do whatever you want. and you're pretty much invincible, and that's pretty cool. That works sometimes.
But yeah, I like the cartoony silliness of like you, the explosions say boom, headshots. You know, say I think it's a headshot or something like right. like it's from what 1960s Batman. So I do like that, and you know, it's going to have the weapons there because of the developer.
Yeah, for sure. And let me double back real quick. I forgot to say that Xbox actually opened in a way that they didn't actually, or they typically don't, and that's with like a Japanese inspired trailer from like Metal Gear. That was kind of strange, but I liked it though because like the trailer was different. So I was like, okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment that they lost me was, of course, the moment that is not the elephant in the room. It's the fucking 2-ton fucking cannon that's just sitting there pointing at you, which is their used games, which is not a big deal. That's not the worst thing, but the way their used games are going to be and their price point, that it makes no sense.
I actually think people are overreacting about the price point. But I think in this Apple world that we live in, I think $500 for a device is not that crazy. When you look at iPhones, iPads, stupid Apple laptops, and not even just Apple, just, I'm just using that as a prime example. Or if we can spend, you know, if someone can spend $600, $700 on a 40-inch, 50-inch plasma LED, then is $500 for a console really that bad? I am someone who bought a PS3 for $600, even though I was a dumb kid in high school at that point. I wouldn't wait in line, and arguably I probably wouldn't spend $600. I probably would spend $600 on a console, but I wouldn't wait in line for it. So I did grow up a little bit, but I like I said, I don't think $500 is bad. I mean, Justin, as you from a tech PC perspective, what do you think?
Well, I would have to say, like, for me, you know, building my own PCs, like, I can see, like, the price will definitely jump up if I want to do, like, insane graphics. Like, my current tower right now, I've probably put a total of maybe $1,400 or $1,500 into it. But then I do see the positive that because I'm buying the bigger, better hardware now, I don't have to do as much upgrading in the future. That being said, though, like, you know, being the PC gamer, I like, you know, the higher level of freedom I have on the PC versus a console. And because of what you're limited to on a console, I do think for me, like, maybe the Xbox would be better, like, $100 less.
Yeah. I mean, that is something that should be $100 less, but the reason I'm assuming is not $400 is because it has the silly Kinect bundled with it, which each one.
Mm-hmm.
And if it didn't have that, then I think then most likely it would be, you know, $400. And I mean, that just goes back to Microsoft. We were talking about before the podcast, like Windows 8. They're telling us what we should do and what we want rather than listening. And like, no, I don't think anybody was begging for Kinect to be bundled with this. And I don't think anyone was begging for an extra $100. I mean, there should be. I get why they would do it, because that now developers are more likely to develop for like Kinect games and have Kinect features, is everyone who has an Xbox One has a Kinect now. So I get why they didn't do a $400 version without it and a $500 with it, because they want to split the market. But maybe they should just eat that cost.
For sure. And this ties back into the way that they actually designed their system, and it, all their DRM and like their creepy ass like Kinect must be connected to your Xbox and what is it actually listening to. It all ties into that, because unfortunately, like, it comes with it. It's not optional. And on top of that, you don't really have the option to use that particular system without the Kinect device to it.
Yeah.
So it's too, like you said, it's too much. I mean, to not to use, you know, hyperbolic talk, but it is a little Big Brother-ish in regards to, like, this is what you need to pay and you will pay in order to experience things on this system, because this is the only way that you can experience it. Like, it's very strange.
I wouldn't say Big Brother, at least for me. I don't think Microsoft wants to look through those cameras, because they're going to see a whole bunch of 20 and 30 year olds masturbating. They could just go to Chat Roulette if they want to see that.
That's true.
I think it's just more forceful. When I was reading their used game policy, they use language like, we will allow you to give the game to one person if they've been on your friends list for 30 days and blah, blah, blah. Like, them saying, we will allow you to do something. Like, that's the thing that bothers me. Not the whole are they watching or listening. It's just human nature. If you buy hardware, if you buy games for it, you look at that as yours. You don't, you know, four isn't saying, oh, I will allow you to drive your car to, you know, to San Diego, even though you live in the LA. Like, they weren't saying we allow you to do that. Once you buy it, it's yours. So I think that's the more bothersome part, at least to me.
No, for sure. And to bounce off of that, like, now that you've said it like that, I forgot which guy was talking, but he commented on the kind of PS Plus kind of thing that they're going to try to do. He was like, we're going to allow you 2 free games a month, where it was like Halo 3 and Assassin's Creed 2 if you have a Xbox Gold membership. I forgot which presenter was speaking, but they mentioned that, you know, they're going to allow Xbox Gold members to have 2 free games, being, you know, Assassin's Creed 2, which is old as hell, and Halo 3. But like you said, that same language of like, we're going to allow you to do this, whereas PlayStation is more like, hey, you all have access to this, and this for that particular, you know, selling point. But yeah, that same language of being allowed to do something is, it's very strange. It's odd. It's not a good way to talk to people who are gamers like ourselves. So
yeah, especially when you don't have a monopoly over the industry. Like, we obviously have choices between Sony, PC, Nintendo. You're asking for people to come. It's not like, I get, and people have said this before, like, Sony and Microsoft basically switched positions. Like, during the 360, like, Microsoft was the cool one and, like, friendly to developers and all this other stuff, and Sony was the one saying you have to get an extra job to spend $600 on their console. And now they just, now since, you know, Microsoft has the big head now and Sony kind of got beat, they basically switched positions, and Sony's being nice to developers and saying, come play with us. And Microsoft is saying, nope, if you don't have an internet connection, go buy a 360. Like, and I want both of the consoles to be good at the same time. It sucks that they have to flip flop like that.
Well, the whole thing about the DRM thing for me is that I find it like a potential issue for Microsoft in the future. Like, obviously it's going to put a big, you know, stomp on used game sales, but at the same time, you know, if you look back all the way, like, for example, the Dreamcast, they refused to follow any format, and they wanted to use their own proprietary format for the discs just to be piracy proof. And ironically, it turned out to be the most easy to pirate system out there. So I'm starting to wonder, like, how is this gonna, you know, affect, you know, the used market? Not just that, but also how effective is their system really going to be?
I think part of the only pass that I could possibly give Xbox on this is that I think because of their doubling down and like going in hard on the television side of it, is that they have to satisfy certain criteria before they get those deals with, you know, Verizon or with Comcast or AT&T Uverse to say, like, look, we won't create boxes anymore. We'll 100% stream our content through your Xbox One. But in order to do that, we need to make sure that it's, you know, pirate proof, because we are, you know, basically surrendering the hardware side to you guys. And like, that's the only reason I could think, like, look, they want it always online, because you can't use your cable box, obviously, now without having an internet connection, especially if you have Uverse. That's my only thought process, that why they're doing this, because they have this larger plan, obviously, to go in really hard on television.
But the cheaper price point, at least from that, I'm fine with that price point from a gaming perspective. But if I was a casual gamer and, you know, into fantasy football and hated my cable box, I wouldn't spend $500 for something just to get around those little problems. I mean, it reminds me of the Xbox reveal when he says, like, the name of the channel, or, like, when he moves his hand to change the channel. He said, oh, my God, look at that. Let's look at that again. I was like, you can just hit channel on your goddamn remote. It's not that big a deal. And, like, who's going to pay $500 for that?
Of course. And that's why I say, like, maybe they're planning for, they have some bigger initiative coming down the road, which is, like, we are actually going to be your only avenue to have a cable box. And yeah. And that's the only like end game I can see with their price point, one, because again, once you have cable, No one really buys cable boxes anymore. You don't really pay installation fees. Like, there's ways around that, obviously. And when you move to a new location, they just give you a new box. But you're always tied into that company's hardware. Whereas with the Xbox, maybe because they are making that play for the subscription side of cable, that these providers are saying, you know what? People are only going to use this box one time. Like, they're going to purchase it one time. We're not going to get any installation fees. We're not going to get anything on the front end. So you guys need to, like, up the price maybe so that we get a cut. Like, I'm just trying to think in the mind of, like, someone who's making some business deals down the road. Like, how
I don't think that's
justify the price. Yeah.
I mean, I think the price is justified, like I said, from a gaming perspective. I just don't think it's justified to get a casual person. And then the weird thing is, if they're thinking, okay, we'll get the hardcore gamers first, and then we'll do a price cut, you know, a year later, 2 years later, and then we'll get the casual. Then, I mean, I would get that plan. But you pissed off the hardcore people. Like, they should.
That's, your constituency is already upset at you. Yeah, for sure.
So right now they have to rely more so on mainstream than hardcore gamers. Like, just because they're stupid DRM and used games and all the other stuff. But, I mean, like, let's get back more into the conference itself. Like, as far as, did any other games, like, speak to you? Or did you look at anything that's dumb? Or not? Or maybe for not sure, for you? For sure.
I thought Rise was a little dumb.
I actually like Rise. I mean, I think Rise has, I don't know, I like that time period without magic. I've kind of always wanted, like, a warrior, whether it's, you know, that time period or a knight. Medieval time period without magic, without demons. So, like, yeah, God of War with no magic seems interesting to me.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of over the quote-unquote valiant Roman who conquered the quote-unquote known world. Like, I'm sick of hearing that. I can't even stand that phrase. I mean,
that's in movies and TV shows, but that's not really... This hasn't been in video games that much. I mean, some RTSs, I guess.
What?
Like, name some that weren't RTSs.
Are we serious? Like,
yes, I don't know. Justin, do you know these millions of Roman games that I don't know about?
Not to my knowledge.
I'm not saying Roman games, but I'm saying the thought of, like, oh my gosh, here we go again. Some European country that, from the past, and they're going to conquer this and that. Like, I don't recall
that happening in video games a lot. Like, for serious, name some examples. I can't even think of any European games other than, like, some of the past Assassin's Creed. And some of those were, and even, like, Jerusalem isn't in Europe. So, I mean, like, which ones are you talking about?
I'll get some.
Okay, yeah. You think of some later, let me know, because I actually am curious.
I'll think of it. But I guess it's, like, the permutation of, like, in media, for instance, like, and of course this is, like, way off topic, but it's just like, oh God, I can't do another. I mean, damn, HBO just had a show called Rome not too long ago.
Yeah, like I said, in TV shows and movies, I agree. But in video games, that hasn't, I don't think that's been represented. Other than, like, what, Rome Total War? That's, like, the only thing I can think of.
No, I mean, that's fine. But again, like, the line is getting blurred so much in regards to, like, what is a video game? What is a movie? The cinematic experience. It's kind of like that trope has not just because it hasn't been touched on by video games much. It's not like we haven't seen it a million times over. And, like, the QuickTime events are, like, they look cool, but again, they're QuickTime events, so that kind of threw me off. I wasn't really into it.
Well, I'm not sure if I agree with that either, because we can, from looking at that gameplay, it did look a bit repetitive. That's the only thing I'm really worried about. But that far as the, like, icons and the way that combat system worked, that could be very similar to Batman and Assassin's Creed. Like, Batman and Assassin's Creed do have, like, the logo over a guy's head, and you hit it at a certain time and all the other stuff. So I would have to see more of it and, like, get it in my hands. But I think that could go either way. When I did see it, I was like, okay, I do like this time period. It definitely looks good. The only thing I thought was, I think this would be a good game to rent. But I'm not sure I can rent games on this console. So that's like the main thing I thought of, like, which is, like, okay, you got an interesting game I would want to play with this, but not necessarily buy. But I don't know if I can get around that. So
this, yeah, for sure.
And that's, like, I actually like their conference a lot. I think I do think they missed some points, especially after watching the Sony one. Just not even for the, like, punches Sony did at the end. It's just that Sony and even, like, Jack Tretton, like, he, even though he's, like, this big executive CEO guy, he seems cool. He seems genuine. Dan Matrick and, like, who didn't even talk a lot, but you know, the Microsoft guys, they have that used car salesman snake oil guy vibe. They don't. Maybe they should have Phil Harrison out there, because like I remember Phil Harrison during his Sony days. He gave a pretty good presentation back in the day. So maybe they should have had him out there since he's a Microsoft guy now. But they almost went from game to game to game in a bad way. Like it wasn't enough human interaction. Or like they would say something like, "Hey, we got Twitch. All right, next game. Okay, here's the indie guy. Next game." Like, it was almost like, we don't want to go on the stage too long because then they'll expect us to talk about used games and DRM. And we talked about that through a press release, you know, 5 days ago.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Like, they moved through it. I liked the conference, too, myself, because of the games. Like, I wasn't too concerned with, like, the aesthetic of the way they showed them. Like, they showed them, and that's pretty much, like, up to me to make a determination if I want to play it or not. They don't really have to sell me on it, except, of course, if it's Rise. But the end of the conference was their conference, for instance, was the only thing that stuck out to me, because as soon as I heard that price point, and they didn't put it on the screen, I forgot which, again, and I apologize, forgot which presenter said it, but he just said it. They didn't put it on the screen, and I was like, wait, what? You can't just say that and not try to at least justify the reason why you're going to hit that point.
Yeah. So. And hindsight is 2020, but it was really stupid for them to even say the price, because they don't always or even usually say the price of stuff at E3. So they could have just not said the price at all and then set the price, you know, at some Microsoft event or at, you know, GamesCon or wherever. They could have just said it on Twitter. It doesn't matter nowadays where you say it. Is it going to go everywhere? So I mean, it was kind of dumb of them to even, you know, say and be happy about $500 when it turns out, you know, 4 or 5 hours later is $100 too much.
Yeah, for sure.
I did like the games though. We're gonna talk about Sony in a second, but I actually think Microsoft had way better games than that. Well, maybe not way better, but way definitely more games I'm interested in than Sony's game. And like, I want to play. Well, I don't want to say I want to play, but I am very interested in Project Spark. I thought that looked interesting. I tried playing a little bit.
So Planet. Did I. I thought it was dope. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I tried playing a little bit Planet, but Little Big Planet just has that as an interesting idea. But the gameplay for Little Big Planet was never good to me. I bought the first one. I really didn't even try the second one because I was just burnt out on it. But that looks like what Little Big Planet was trying to be, but like times 20. To me, especially with the whole smart glass thing, which I always thought was stupid too, but the idea that you can like use your tablet to help landscape and do level design and all this other stuff, depending on how deep they go, that's actually the first time I ever thought smart glass was cool.
For sure. I'm the lead mobile editor. How the hell do I forget to even mention that through their about like thing I liked about
shame
their
on comments? You.
What is wrong with me? Yeah, like a lot of their smart glass integration like actually seemed practical. For the first time, and that like you said, that was a really cool thing.
Yeah,
and
I mean they're doing that better than Nintendo has with Wii U. Like I think that as far as what I've seen for Nintendo's tablet, like I would rather do that Project Spark stuff than any Nintendo stuff I've seen yet. So I mean they had a lot of good stuff. Even though I'm zombied out, I thought Dead Rising 3 full disclosure, I pre-ordered both consoles already. But I plan to just choose one eventually, cuz I pre-ordered through Amazon and they don't.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
get them both.
No, I'm getting them both, but I'm not getting both in November. I'll get one in November, like one in like March or February.
We'll have an I Told You So part two. That's fine.
But the thing is, like, I'm still, we'll talk more about this later, but I'm still torn between which direction to go, because I think Microsoft had the better games, because I want to play Dead Rising 3. Like, that, out of all the launch titles on both consoles that have been announced so far as exclusives, Dead Rising 3 is the only one I really want to play, especially if that has co-op. If that's co-op, I'm probably leaning more towards Xbox One, because I don't like Killzone. I'm not into driving games, and Knack looks like Cameo from 360. Like, I don't want to play Knack. That's going too kiddie. Like, I like Ratchet, but that is going into a way that I don't know. But anyway, we can talk about Sony a second.
So you wanted to play Dead Rising 3 more than like you wanted to play like Titanfall or like Quantum Break or.
But
like,
those aren't launch titles. I'm just talking about exclusive launch titles.
Well, Titanfall, I think, is a launch title.
No, it's 2014.
You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I'm like 80. Now I'm 60% sure, but I was 80% sure. Justin, do you mind fact checking for us?
Yeah. I mean, the Respawn guys have been working on that forever. You would think it'd be a launch title.
I'm pretty sure that was 2014. And yes. Another. What'd you say, Justin?
Which one was it?
Titanfall, the launch date. But another weird thing, at least I'm pretty sure I read, Titanfall is multiplayer only.
Yeah, but the experience itself looked just way too engaging for me to say, like, I got to put that on the back burner for Dead Rising 3, even though Dead Rising 3 looked very dynamic.
Yeah, but Titanfall isn't a launch title, though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Titanfall is second quarter of next year.
Oh, yeah. Get off of here, Justin. I don't want to talk to you.
Hey, you asked me to check. It's not my fault you're wrong.
But, yeah, I'm saying, out of the launch titles, which I'm thinking of right now, like I said, I named those three for Sony, and I think Microsoft has Rise, Dead Rising, and Forza. So they both have like three big launch titles, at least I can think of right now each. Yeah. And out of those six games, Dead Rising 3 is the only one I really want to play. I would lean towards PS4 more if Infamous was a launch title, but it's not. So
fact check.
I know that is. That's early 2014.
Yeah, and yeah, I am a little over the zombie apocalypse, but it looked cool. It looked cool. It didn't move me as much as like Titanfall did.
I want to play Titanfall. Actually, that gameplay demo is what sold me on Titanfall. That trailer was like, I'm not so sure, but that gameplay demo was interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Even if you don't like first person shooters, like there's no denying that Titanfall looked. Like, totally 100%, like, 180 difference from what everyone is used to playing.
Yeah, and more importantly, it looks like that could be a game changer as far as FPS online shooters go, which is what we need.
Yeah, for sure. What'd you think about, because I remember during GDC, we talked a lot about Battlefield 4 and, like, what we were going to expect in comparison to to Call of Duty Ghost.
Yeah.
Like, what did you think of the gameplay they showed during the Xbox, like, presentation? I thought it was pretty sick. What do you think?
Well, the campaign they showed at Microsoft, I was like, it looks good, but Justin and I were talking about this before the podcast. Like, I don't play Battlefield for the campaign. If it has a good campaign, that's a great bonus. And the graphics for that definitely look great, but the gameplay was like whatever. But what they showed at the EA conference for Battlefield, the multiplayer, like that was crazy. Like, and
for sure.
As far as, like, I mean, Commander Mode seems a little gimmicky, whatever. I mean, as far as going through Smart Glass, it seems a little gimmicky. But, like, the building falling down, getting in the elevator. And actually, Battlefield is one of the main reasons I'm going next gen this year. Because what I was saying, being torn between different directions, is, like, I could wait until next year to go next gen. I could either go Xbox, I can go PlayStation, or unlikely but possible, I could just get a PC and PC game. But either way, I'm spending, you know, $400 to $1,000 this year. But the thing is, with Battlefield being 64 players on Xbox One and PS4, but still being 32 players on current gen. That when I saw that, I was like, okay, now I have to make it. Now I have to do something in 2013. Between you know, one of those consoles are unlikely upgrading my PC. Like, one of those three things have to happen so I can get 64 players on Battlefield. But right now, just look at it. Okay, so I can do that, and either Dead Rising or Infamous would be a good bonus. But like, Battlefield is the main carrot on the stick for me.
I feel you on that. Like, there were two games out of the entire E3, like, day one showings that, like, totally told me that, like, okay, this is the next gen, and that was Battlefield 4, and then we could talk about Ubisoft later, but, like, in The Division. Like, those two games were like, okay, this actually makes sense why we have new consoles right now, because those two looked amazing. The gameplay, you're right, like, the campaign versus the multiplayer, the multiplayer definitely like was winning on that side, but there's no doubt like those graphics were just, they were intense, like almost to the point of scary looking.
Yeah, now I wish Donna was here, because Donna said she didn't see a difference between that and Call of Duty. So well, I think anyone should be able to see the difference between that and Call of Duty.
From what I've seen, I can definitely see the difference. I mean, Battlefield is so much more crisp than Call of Duty.
Yeah, I mean, and it has more stuff going on. Like, I'm pretty sure Call of Duty on PC isn't, 64 players. It's probably, 16 or 32. It definitely isn't going to be that high on console.
Well, all the PC ones, they usually have mods that allow for higher players. So, yeah, you can even do up to 128 on a map.
Okay. But, yeah, definitely on console, you know, it's not going to be that high. There's no vehicles. It's just, like, way more. This is one of the reasons I've liked Battlefield more than Call of Duty. It's just, like, more stuff is happening. It's more dynamic. It's just more fun to me. So, and the graphics-wise, I don't think it's even up for debate. Like, which one? That's not even a subjective, as far as which one technically looks better. It's not. The same as subjective.
Well, for me personally, looking at Battlefield versus Call of Duty, it's just Battlefield with each game that comes out, they try to make the graphics better. They try to put more functionality into it for the multiplayer. But whenever I look at a Call of Duty, I see what basically to me feels like a $60 DLC that has different weapons and a different map, but the same exact core mechanics and graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't seen a major difference in Call of Duty graphics since I would probably have to say Modern Warfare 2.
I agree.
And
I just feel like they slightly bump the engine.
Well, like, it's slightly. It was like I was telling you before the show, is that with each game that comes out, they just compress the textures for the graphics even more so they can put more detail on the model rather than actually making the engine better so that way the 3D models will look more realistic. So that's why the Call of Duty games that come out are usually never as refined as Battlefield.
That's a problem with being released every year, right? Like, Madden even comes up against this. Like, there's only much you can do in that short span of time, like, you know, to really make a drastic difference.
Yeah, in a year, you just can't change the entire core of an engine and better its graphics ability in just, you know, a short year, because you've also got the story play, the models that got to be made for the characters. There's just too much going on to be able to do it in 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, since you brought up Division, let's just jump to that. Like, that was, and it's interesting, I think Ubisoft stole the show 2 years in a row, between Watch Dogs last year and Division this year. I think everyone's paying attention to EA and Activision, but I mean, Ubisoft I think is like the main third party, at least to me, quality wise and I'm sure sooner or later money wise too.
Yeah, for sure. When it comes to publishers, like, they are right now, like, them and, like, Naughty Dog, I would say, are probably, like, the two that are, like, head-to-head, like, the best in the industry right now.
It's got a little bit of apples and oranges, but yes, it's, like, Naughty Dog's so small, but yeah. But, Division, it looks like, what, The Last of Us a little bit, and DayZ, and, like, all, like, an interesting, like, open-world, third-person RPG. But
with multiplayer, right?
Yeah, with a slight MMO feel to it.
It was impressive. The engine was crazy. Like, just all of the lighting effects, the textures, the attention to detail from the little map that just comes off of the watch and laid onto the floor.
The windows getting shot out and the bullet holes getting into the car.
The individual bullets, like, that was impressive. And then, of course, the smart glass or tablet integration, whatever you're using, right? Like, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I was thoroughly impressed, and that, like I said before, that's what pushed me to the point where, like, okay, this is definitely next gen, and I want that game.
Yeah,
even more than Watch Dogs right now. Like,
yeah, I want that game. Yeah, because, like, really, Watch Dogs interests me. And I think we talked about this during the reveal podcast. GTA, Saints Row, and Watch Dogs come out within 3 or 4 months of each other. Like, that's too much, at least for me, that's too much sandbox together. So I could see, even in Watch Dogs, I'm sure it would be a good game. I could see myself playing, like, GTA and then playing, like, Saints Row and Watch Dogs sometime in mid-late 2014.
Wait, and then Assassin's Creed, right, comes out this year too, right?
Well, yeah. I don't include those in that, those games, but yeah.
Yeah, if I can say anything bad about Ubisoft, is that, like, for one reason or another, and of course they're, you know, developing the games as well, like, a lot of their games are starting to all look the same, but, you know, The Division still has that one little tweak to it because of its massiveness that, like, sets it apart. But, like, yeah, Watch Dogs, the more I see of it, and I'm still going to play the hell out of it. Like, it looks amazing. But it's starting to feel like that's where, like, the Desmond story was supposed to go from Assassin's Creed. And, like,
yeah.
Because of all the parkour and, yeah, you know, the ability to fight the way he does, like, that's where that was supposed to go. So
they do have a similar thing, which doesn't bother me. But it is interesting. All of their, not all, but most of their next-gen games are, like, this weird online, always... not always online, but like this multiplayer, single player, hybrid. I like that they're trying to change that. I like that they're trying to, you know, do that. But it's weird that they're doing it with all their games. Like, they're doing it with Watch Dogs, Division, The Crew.
Yes.
And I mean, probably something else I'm not even thinking of right now. But it's interesting that they're all doing that. And they all have that, like, pull out, zoom out to the world thing at the end of their trailer.
See everyone doing the same thing you're doing. Yes. What'd you think, Justin? Did you like that game, or did you get to see that one?
From what I've seen of Division, like, I am deeply impressed with it, because I've played, you know, a lot of the other Tom Clancy's, and, you know, being a shooter junkie, like, I look at, you know, the way the HUD's going on, like, usually I like the way the HUD's always stationary at the bottom left, bottom right, and having your radar at the top left, but, you know, Division does something that not a lot of their other games do, and they're being kind of, you know, ballsy with putting the HUD to the right of the character and having it just kind of overlay wherever you're running, and right. They actually did it really well. Like, it just feels like that's the way a HUD should be in a game. And, like, I'm definitely going to purchase this game just to play that, just for that aspect. I mean, along with everything else, you know, like you were talking about the individual bullets, the entire gameplay itself just looks really well polished. And it looks like they're taking a Tom Clancy game, and instead of doing the same thing over and over and over, they're presenting it in a slightly different way that's going to probably influence a lot of other shooters to follow.
Yeah. And it's weird as it even kind of has the Tom Clancy name too. I mean, I guess it's not that weird, but they usually have, like, just terrorism or anti-terrorism angle, and, like, this is, as far as we know, isn't terrorism related.
No, not that I can see, but one thing I can say that definitely falls with all the Tom Clancy's is that there's always a team-based, organized layout to the way you're shooting and playing in the level, so you definitely have a team of at least two or three other people. You've probably got to give them commands, just like you do in Ghost Recon, and tell them who you got to shoot and who you want them to cover. That's the kind of aspect that I've seen in every Tom Clancy game from the beginning. So that's why I can understand the Tom Clancy name being on it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, certain publishers are trying to get their, not even a game, they're trying to get a platform, kind of like with Bungie and Destiny, and it seems like this could be, like, that platform, almost like MMO, World of Warcraft, always there type game that Destiny is trying to be. Cause, like, Destiny looks okay, it doesn't, I'm not saying it looks bad, but for me it doesn't do anything because it looks like Borderlands, which I don't like, mixed with Mass Effect, which I do like. But it's not, you know, it's not as good as Mass Effect as what it's trying to do, at least from what we've seen so far. So I think, as far as, like, the whole, like, games being their own platform, I think Division could outdo Destiny, at least quality wise, maybe not popularity wise.
I think you're right. I mean, Destiny, for some reason or another, didn't move me, when it went into the corridor sections and, like, kind of was, like, indoor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but the moment it stepped outside and, like, you saw that open world and you saw the special abilities being, you know, implemented and going into third person, I thought that was amazing. Like, if the game is mostly that and less of the cave, you know, raiding and, you know, corridor shooting, like, I might be in on that one too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another thing about Division, and this is, I'm not sure if, like, gamers usually notice this, but usually games are either completely interior or completely exterior. Like, GTA, you don't really go inside buildings other than your apartment, which always looks kind of crappy. Like, the door always acts funny and stuff like that, because that's an exterior game. And then you have certain games that are completely interior. And with Division, they were going from exterior to interior It was only a small area, but like the way they were doing that was interesting. Like the interior was full of stuff. It wasn't like some blank canvas or like some copy room we're going to see 20 times. Hopefully not. And then the streets obviously looked good too. So, I mean, maybe that's a big stride next gen can make as far as mixing interior and exterior.
Yeah, for sure. Like level design looks like it's going to be on a level we've never seen before. And maybe like, almost too massive for us to like look at or review within 1 week, because it looks like there's just a lot of detail and they're taking a lot of time with it. It's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, was there any other Ubisoft game you guys wanted to talk about?
I don't know. Did they show that other Tom Clancy title, the Patriot or
Rainbow Six?
No, was it? Oh, is that Rainbow Six? Yeah, where they're, you know, they're coming off the wall.
Yeah, Rainbow Six.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't show that. I mean, they did. They're always a little bit cagey about Rainbow Six, like this year. But they did finally say, I think today or yesterday, that this is on hold. They're not on hold, but they're working on it, and it is a next gen title. They just said they're focusing on like Division and Watch Dogs and the other stuff. But it's a Rainbow Six. I think it was Rainbow Six Patriots. I don't think it was anything else in the name. But yeah. They said that they're working on that. It's going to be next gen and it's coming.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy for. Me and Don obviously love Rainbow Six if anyone's listened to the show before.
Yeah, Rainbow Six is dope. It's dope. But yeah, pretty much that was really it from Ubisoft. Like, Watch Dogs still look cool. Nothing else really stuck out to me, but their games look the best, like from top to bottom.
Yeah. I mean, and to bounce back to EA, like, I'm glad Mirror's Edge 2 is coming out. I
played one.
You said you didn't play one?
No, I never played the first one. Was it good?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, now it might be a little bit dated, but I mean, you probably can get it for like $5 on Steam or $10 on Steam or something. It's definitely worth checking out. I don't think it was a long game either. So
no, it's pretty quick. I think it's only like 3 or 4 hours of gameplay.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was that short. But yeah.
No, well, I played through the whole thing.
Well, like you're a genius, though. Day. Yeah, you.
I'm not a genius.
Super genius.
You beat it. To take a step back, I know people who's like, yeah, Portal is really fun. Portal 1 is really fun. I beat that in about 20 minutes. I was like, okay, you did not beat Portal 1 in 20 minutes, you asshole.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, genius Justin could beat it in three and a half minutes. But yeah, I would probably guess it's like 5-6 hours. But yeah, I would go back and check it out. But yeah, I'm glad that's coming back. Obviously, Battlefield looks great. Destiny looks whatever. Wait, is Destiny EA or Activision?
Destiny is Activision.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so I mean, that's pretty much. Oh, the weird thing. Plants vs. Zombies. Did you see that?
I did see that. That was weird.
Yeah,
right?
is that a game mode or is that the entire game?
That looks like it's going to be the entire game. Like, it's going to be like a shooter with plants. It's weird.
Justin, did you see this? Do you know what we're talking
about? I did not.
But you do know, like, Plants vs. Zombies. You played it?
Or I know played it a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I mean... I hope it's not, because like in this version is almost like this third person shooter, like this third person co-op Left 4 Dead type thing, and you're like different plants with different abilities. I mean, I think it didn't look bad, but I think if that was a game mode and you could play it the regular way, I think I would be fine with that. But if that's the only mode, or if that's the only way to play it, then that's pretty dumb.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, it looked crisp. Like, I won't take anything away from the way it looked, but I don't know if that game was meant to be like that.
Ever. Yeah, I mean, that's like saying we're going to make Pac-Man a third person over the shoulder. You go around eating stuff around GTA City type thing. Like, that sounds weird and interesting, but that's not why people like Pac-Man.
Yeah, for sure. I wasn't really impressed with any of their sports lineups. Were you, Vince, at all?
They didn't show gameplay, so I don't know. I kind of skipped through that. I kind of fast-forwarded. I saw it, but I fast-forwarded through that because they were just bringing out celebrities. They were just bringing out athletes, and they weren't really showing gameplay, so I didn't care.
Yeah, for sure. I was on Twitter, like, going off about that the spoken word poet they had come out.
That's where I started fast forwarding. I was like, I can't see this. They got some they got some fool from Def Jam Poetry on here or something.
From Def Poetry.
Did they? Was he actually from that? Or?
I don't know, but I was just furious. I was like, is this supposed to appeal to my blackness? Like, I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand. I hate this.
This is like the whitest place in L.A. in that moment. And they got this guy on here doing poetry.
Right. It's like, just stop. We get it. Stop.
And they had Drake. Who had Drake? Someone had Drake there.
Oh, FIFA. FIFA.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's such a soccer fan.
Ugh. He's Canadian, right? So, like, they like soccer, so that makes sense.
Do they? Is he Canadian? Is he human? Screw Drake. He's not...
That's debatable.
But anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I think EA, in a way, EA seemed like they were trying to make up for mistakes, too. I think they had, like, that Sony vibe, like, we screwed up a little bit last gen. And it seems like Sony EA, to me, went up in stock, and Activision and Microsoft went down. And I don't think Activision was even there. I'm saying they didn't even like show anything other. I saw some more Call of Duty stuff. They show the dog has a name. I forgot the name. Was it Riley or something like that? The German Shepherd.
I don't care enough to remember.
But anyway, the dog has a name. Which is, at least that's been a great internet meme, at the very least.
Every game that mentioned that they had a dog in their game, like, 100% made a point to say, like, oh, and we have our dog. Like, it was amazing. It was really good. Really fun.
I mean, that's really the probably only positive that's coming out of that, is, like, just the memes I've seen and laughed at. But, yeah, I mean, Activision, just in general... you know, Battlefield spanked Call of Duty and Sony punched Microsoft in the balls. So, but anyway, let's jump to Sony.
Numerous times, yes.
Three times to be exact. But actually, I think Sony's getting away with a lot of stuff in a bad way. I want to get your impressions first of the Sony conference.
Well, you go first this time. I went first last time on the Xbox. You go first this time.
Fine. Okay. It was a boring conference. I think. The last like 10-15 minutes saved that conference, because I fast forwarded through a lot of that crap. I was like, oh my, are you really talking about PS3? And I thought the same thing when they talked about 360, but at least with 360 they went through it way faster than Sony did with the PS3 and the Vita, and then they started talking about movies and music for some reason. Like I looked at how far I was fast forwarding in the first like 30 minutes, at least the first 20, like 21 minutes, is just, you know, non PS4 boring stuff. So I fast forward through that. I thought a lot of their games didn't look good. I thought The Order, I can't say that it looked bad, but just showing a CG trailer does nothing. Like, you might well not do anything.
Yeah, and another known world game right there. Like, I didn't have any interest in it. It didn't move me, no.
I'm trying to think what else they showed, because, like, everything they showed was just so forgettable. I've tried Killzone twice. I bought Killzone twice. I didn't beat Killzone twice because Killzone was boring. I am not falling for Killzone again, because even in the trailer they showed was lame too. Like I thought the what they showed in February at the PS4 reveal looked okay. Like him hanging from the jet or the plane or whatever was kind of cool, and like seeing this like East Germany, West Germany, Berlin Wall type vibe was interesting. But the trailer they showed at E3 was just like him shooting people in the face. In the woods. So I was like, that does nothing for me. It looked like God damn, what's the name of that game? I'm not gonna remember it. Never mind. Haze. I did remember it. Haze. It reminded me of Haze.
Haze, really?
Yeah, like just shooting people in the face in the woods. Like when I saw that Killzone trailer. But I'm trying to think. Knack does nothing for me. It looks too kitty in a bad way, not in a fun way like Ratchet or even Jack and Daxter. I'm trying to think of what else they showed. Drive Club, I'm not in a racing game, so I don't care about Drive Club or Forza.
No. You like Second Son, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. That I would say out of all the games they showed, Infamous looked really good, and Transistor which isn't exclusive. That's on PC. So I'll probably, if I don't go to PS4 route, or if I don't go it before that comes out, I'll just get it through Steam. But those were the only two games they showed that I wanted to play, like Infamous and Transistor. And I mainly want to play Transistor because I like Bastion so much.
Yeah, I think a lot of their, whatever their, you know, first party are like exclusives are going to be, they're going to slowly roll them out. I think like Xbox, like you said before, went in hard and like, we're going to show all our exclusives right now. Whereas I think, I don't know, like it was weird. Like Xbox's platform and what they're going for me feels more bro-ish. And then, and not even a bad way.
I would say more, that.
Well, I'm saying like it feels more general, right? Like there's a little bit for everyone there. And I feel like PlayStation 4 is going for like a quote unquote, like a refined gamer, like someone who's really deep into playing games. So they're going to make these deeper quote unquote experiences, which may not be for everyone.
Like which game are you thinking of in particular when you say that, or what games? I think Forza is probably going to be more in depth than Drive Club. And I think, Titanfall is going to be Titanfall or Halo is probably gonna be a better shooter than Killzone. Like I don't see what you mean by that.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but if you look at the way that like they presented their games, like they were a little longer than trailers, right? There were highlights, but they were, you know, a pretty decent amount of time that they showed for each game. Whereas Xbox was like you said before, in and out. Like here's the game, here are the really cool parts, to the next one. Whereas PlayStation took a little bit more time because they did that in their last conference. They went through games.
Yeah, I can't get what you're saying, but overall they were more Xbox games I want to play. Like pretty much every game they show, I will either want to rent if I can freaking rent, stupid Microsoft, or I would want to buy. Like Sunset Overdrive I want to play. I want to play Quantic Break, depending on how crazy that is or isn't. I want to play that. I mean basically everything they show at the Microsoft conference, I want to play either through renting it or buying it. And then if I can't rent it, that's, you know, obviously a whole nother problem. But I still think they will have a rental service to some magnitude. I think Microsoft, well, maybe I can't say this anymore. Maybe I can't say they aren't that stupid not to do that, because maybe they are that stupid, or maybe they just are that cocky to do that. But I still think even if they have like the whole you have this game for five days, or like we said during the reveal podcast, you have it for 5 days. You download it, then after the 5 days, it's no longer there, or you have to buy it, or whatever. Even if you don't have to go to Blockbuster or GameFly or Redbox anymore, I think it will have renting games somewhere in there. To go over the whole rental used game thing, used games have always been dumb to me. It's just $10 off. It's $5 off. It's $15 off if you go through GameStop. Like if you go through some other website, then maybe it's a good deal. But having $15 to $5 off is not worth all this outrage.
No, I hear what you're saying. But I think what you're saying then is used games aren't dumb. It's the marketplaces that you choose to sell or do transactions.
I do know there are some websites where you actually do get a good deal. But that's not 99% of people aren't using those websites. They're going to the billion-dollar company, you know, GameStop. What, Amazon has a trade anything too, don't they? And Best Buy, all these other companies. So yeah, mean it's. But anyway, just to hop back to Sony, the thing, what I said they're getting away with, and this doesn't seem like people are getting upset with, or they're just accepting it. Two things: PSN isn't free anymore. You're like you have to buy it. It's like with Xbox Live, you have to be a premium member to play multiplayer on PS4. Okay. And Sony fanboys love saying how PSN is free, screw Xbox Live. And now that Sony said this, they're like, well, who cares? You know, like, okay, Sony fanboys. And
I think that's fair, though, right? Like, I mean, come on, they're coming
in. It depends if it's good or not. I can't say.
Well, I mean, that's fine. You're right. If it's good, like, and good, we're saying you can chat no matter what game you're playing, right? That's kind of like their barometer right now, what is going to be good. Like, as long as you can chat inner game, no matter what game you're playing, and have parties and it's also $10 cheaper than whatever gold is, right? Which is $59.99 at the moment. Yeah. We don't even know if that, well, and that's another thing. Xbox hasn't even set a price on the gold membership going forward, right? Because yeah. they're saying your grandfather then from 360, but they're not saying anything going forward. So,
and something interesting I thought I heard, maybe I'm going crazy, but I thought I heard during the Microsoft conference is they said Xbox Live is now open. So to me, that sounds like they aren't charging.
That's weird. That'd be interesting.
Like that's the way he phrased that, and the way all these people phrase stuff is weird to me. But the way he phrased it made it sound like it's not a wall anymore, and that does make sense if they want to be this Netflix device and they want to be this, you know, fantasy football device. Like charging, going after these casual people and saying give us $60 plus pay Hulu plus
individual subscription,
yeah, plus right, Netflix, yeah. plus you can't use Facebook or Twitter if you aren't gold. Like that's even like another shot in the foot. So them getting rid of that gold wall makes sense, and the way he phrased it sounded that way to me. But anyway, the other thing that seems like they're getting away with is they basically said the same thing Microsoft said. They said, we aren't going to charge you for used games, but third party is up to third parties to do what they want. And Microsoft said the same thing. Microsoft, we aren't charging you for used games, but third parties can do what they want. And I'm not sure if that means, I'm not sure what that means, because they are they saying online passes? Are they saying they can charge digitally for, I don't know, can they block something? Like, it sounds like, in a lot of ways, it sounds like unclear as Microsoft is, but at least Microsoft doesn't, you know, have this log. At least Sony doesn't have this, like, you have to log in every 24 hours, all this other BS to it. But it sounds they basically said the same thing Microsoft said.
No, fair enough. And I think part of that is they're getting a pass on it because they haven't said anything, whereas Xbox has been reported and shown to have a stance already on it, right? So now
yeah. PlayStation. And they keep putting their foot in their mouth, like right. doing the whole, what's his name? Microsoft exec saying the whole nuclear, I know a guy in a nuclear sub with no internet connection, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the only guy in the world who doesn't have a internet connection.
Right, yeah. Whatever on him. Well, okay, so those are the two places they're getting a pass on. I don't think they're that big of a deal at the moment, unless something crazy happens.
I mean, if EA said we're charging for used games, or we're blocking used games or whatever on Xbox and on PlayStation, then I think that is a big deal. If this is up to third parties.
I mean, I guess so, but you know what's all, this is all contingent to me on what the new like price model is going to be for games going forward. Like, I see a lot of the pre-orders are still $59.99.
Basically, I assumed it would be $60 again.
Right, but as far as Microsoft goes, right, if everything's going to be like gearing towards digital downloads, are they going to go towards like a Steam or, you know, some other, you know, like, you know, reasonable price point for things that aren't coming with box art, not coming with packaging, and making it reasonable for that? For you know, a digital download versus like we're going to charge you retail prices and not provide the full retail experience, you know?
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell. But I do know from the Xbox downloads I saw on Xbox Live, they weren't priced that well. And I'm not sure how Sony does it, because Justin, you have you have some experience with this with Sony, right? Because you handheld game with them, and don't you go through their store?
Yeah, you still have to go through the PlayStation Store. You can either do it from the device or from the PS3 and then just sync it up to the PSP. But
is that cheaper than going to like Target or Best Buy?
Yeah, it depends. There's some games where you might get $5 off. There's other games, just depending on the publisher, that may not want a discount and you have to pay full retail. But by paying full retail, you know, all the games that I've ever bought through the PlayStation Network for the PSP or the PSP Go has always come with a digital manual. It's come with all the, you know, box art and stuff. So if you want to look at any of the physical material, you can. Although I'm kind of seeing, like, you know, I used to be, you know, saying to myself the PSP Go was really cool because it was all digital. But now that I'm seeing the consoles come out and Xbox is really enforcing that, oh, you can buy the disc, but you still have to install the game on the hard drive, it's almost like, what's the point of buying the disc anymore? because you're not going to be able to just give that game away to a friend because you may not be on their friends list for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just buy a used game from GameStop because GameStop's not your friend for 30 days.
Yeah.
So it's like, why are we even bothering buying the physical disc anymore? So I'm wondering how the market's going to be in the next 6 months after release.
But couldn't you say all that stuff about PC games?
You can. I mean, yes, but at the same time, PC's been digital for over 10 years now, whereas console gamers, the big benefactor and the big plus to it is if I want to go play at a friend's house, I don't have to go lug my entire system over. I just bring the disc over with my controller.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Problem solved.
Yeah, something that I kind of forgot about and was reminded of this week was, I'm curious how what you think about this, just since you were around back then. Didn't PC gamers hate Steam when that first came out? Like, didn't they think that was like the bane of their existence? They hated Valve for saying, "Oh my god, I have to download Steam just to play, you know, Half-Life or the 2 episode, blah blah blah." Like, this way, didn't the internet kind of shit on Steam for the first couple of years?
It was about for 6 months to a year, but yes, and I was one of them, in fact, because when you downloaded Steam to begin with, it was a very difficult to work with interface, but once they came out with a few patches, it grew into what it is now, which everything's easy to access, and especially now they just incorporated how you want to install your game. So, you know, for my setup, I've got a solid state drive for really fast loading of Windows and programs, and I've got a secondary hard drive for my game, so I can tell Steam where I want to put it. So that makes it a lot easier than having to manually install from a disc every single game. I can just change where the game is installed at just on the fly by clicking a couple buttons. So it has evolved, and I'm not saying that the Xbox won't evolve, but I'm saying that console games have always had that benefactor and plus of having the disc. So you can go to a friend's house and play on a different console.
Then PC games in the 90s and before Steam and stuff, I have to do that too. You guys have to buy the disc, install it, and then you might as well just throw the disc away?
No. Like, the old games before Steam came out, like, you could actually keep the disc and you could install it on a secondary computer. It was only like late 90s, early 2000s that CD keys and registering as a digital copy that physical disc became a standard.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very popular, you know, taking the disc over to a friend's house, installing it, and playing it.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, one reason I bring that up and is this is show, like, how quickly we forget stuff. Like, Steam went from being this hated software to being a something most gamers love and earning over $1 billion a year. And even looking at Sony, and to go back to the whole, you have to buy PSN now to play multiplayer. When was it? 2-3 years ago when they got hacked, people were saying, "Screw Sony! I hate Sony. They're never getting my credit card again." You know, Sony can burn in hell. And you know, now we're here today, and no one remembers that. No one cares.
Oh, I remember.
Well, not no one literally, but you know, now they're going. I'm not saying this to, you know, say people should still be mad at Valve or still be mad at Sony, but it's just like, well, people, if Microsoft changes their things a little bit, if Microsoft says, okay, 72 hours instead of 24 hours, or if they say you can rent games and you can, you know, get used stuff through like some easy, non-convoluted way, then, you know, 4 months from now, people aren't even going to remember all this hate that's going on.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and the point about Steam, how the hate has transferred into love, is valid. The difference, though, is that Xbox hasn't said anything, and because we're approaching so quickly and the price points have been set, one's going to be $500, one's going
to
be $400.
Well, I don't think it's the price point. I think and that was, to go back to the Sony conference, that was one of the three punches. Like, it doesn't have to have internet access. That was one punch. And right. Then no, like, used games, blah, blah, blah. That was another punch. And then finally, the price is like a kick in the balls. Well, those were the three. But I still think that the price is still the least factor in those three as far as what hardcore gamers care about.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I think the point is that okay, if Xbox is going to say we're going to develop a marketplace where we're going to appropriately charge prices according to what games are popular, or you know, just in the event of like what we already have negotiated with the publishers for games, and so everything's going to be varied. You may have a $60 game, you may have a $20 game, you may have a $5 game. That will be interesting. But because they haven't said it and it's so gray, if they don't come out and actually say that, then what we're left with is that everything will be $60 still, plus you're paying more than what PlayStation owners are paying, and their games at this moment that we know are going to be able to be shared easily with their other users. That I think that matters, because you have to say, like, we're going to offer you this. There has to be a reason why you're doing this DRM or this.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There's no reason right now.
Yeah, and saying the cloud every 10 seconds isn't a good reason, because, like, they're saying stuff the cloud does that, you know, it says going on right now, or saying stuff for cloud this, cloud that, that just isn't that oppressive or that we don't care about. So, I mean, just blaming it on the cloud and saying how great the cloud is, you know, does nothing for me.
For sure, for sure. So if they're going to say, like, hey, digital game downloads is where it's going to, fine, that's great. But tell me what your business plan is for appropriately, like, pricing those games going forward.
I've always known this is going to be $60 for everything. Like, not for everything, but if they have, like, you know, I think the price structure would be the same. Like, arcade games are, you know, $5, $10, $15. Full release or $60. It might be some stuff like on that Brink, the video game Brink level. There's like, well, I think Brink was $40. I hope Brink was $40. As crappy a game that was, I hope it was never $60.
Wow, that's crazy.
But you know, you might have some stuff like that, or Shadowrun type multiplayer only type games that are small, that are like, you know, $40, $30. But I still think it's gonna be $60 or an arcade price level.
Well, Justin, what say you? Because I don't know like how much you use Steam, but I don't look at the marketplace that often. But don't brand new games come out that are below $60? Whereas like if you bought them on a console, like they'd be $60.
You know, from what I've seen, because I check it like every morning at 10, because that's when they change the deals out. But every time. Well, dude, I want to save money. But that being said, you know, every time I look at any new games that come out, unless it's like more of like an indie game, I usually see them at $60. Now, that being said, when the 360 and the PS3 came out, you know, way back when, the games did jump from $50 to $60. I wholeheartedly believe that we may see a launch of $60, but I'm gonna have to take a wild guess that by the first quarter of next year, we're gonna see $70 per game.
But doesn't Steam do like one day sales where it'll be like 50% off, even off of those really expensive titles that are brand new?
Yeah, they do seasonal sales where they'll have, you know, for anywhere from 5 to 100 different games, even publisher packs. You can buy a decade worth of games, including the new ones, for dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't see.
But those are mainly events, though, like for like maybe 2 weeks in the summer, 1 week in the winter type stuff, right?
Well, those are the big sales. Every day they have a small sale where anything from 2 to 5 different games, including all the DLCs, may be on sale. And I've even seen like Skyrim come out. They released a Legendary Edition where it's $60, but you're getting the game plus you're getting all of the DLCs up to date, you know, currently. All for $60, and it's all linked to that one game.
Yeah, I don't see Microsoft ever doing that. Never.
Oh no, I mean, even with Skyrim when it came out, the first DLC became a console exclusive for the 360, and they never put it on sale, from what I saw, until like a year and a half later.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's always been my problem with the whole, like, always, it's not really always online, but the always online and the used games stuff, it's no benefit to us, and they still haven't made that case. And the just the whole games price goodbye thing showed that they didn't want to talk about it, and they have to talk about it, especially now they're getting on this. Hey, they have to clarify in more than a press release, which is a cowardly thing to do.
It, of course, right? You would think they said it. They'd have whatever means to explain it. That's kind of bad PR.
It's weird because they're delusional enough to think this is a good idea and delusional enough to put their foot in the mouth and talk about guys and submarines, but they aren't delusional enough to like back up what they're saying at E3. They have to do it through some, you know, wimpy text and put it on the internet.
Yeah, you're right. It's all weird. It's a weird. We're in strange times right now. Strange times.
Do we want to say anything about Nintendo for about the Wii U or 3DS?
The fact that I couldn't stream it? Yeah, whatever. I had no idea the press conference was going on, and like I literally had the stream up, and like I've had it on 24 hours like all this entire week, and like I was like, oh, the Nintendo one happened, and it wouldn't show. It was kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, but I did watch like some of the videos afterwards. Like, Mega Man being in Super Smash Brothers is kind of cool. It's not worth me getting a Wii U and playing it, but I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I liked Mario Kart. I did like that.
Oh, from what I saw. I like that. You know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, now.
I've said this before. I think Nintendo is lazy as hell.
To be fair,
they just keep remaking the same games. Literally.
I think there's probably like a producer like sitting in a hallway just opening up the door every 5 minutes to the actual ad execs and saying, hey, can we make a Mario game yet? Like every 5 minutes just so they can get the approval, and they go, yes! And it's the same thing over and over.
And then they throw like a dart, and then it either lands on cart, it lands on tennis, it lands on Wario, it lands on Doctor, and then they have to just make that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nintendo, they should have done it a long time ago. They should have just went straight software. They'd be making money hand over fist, like selling Mario to PS3 or PS4 owners and Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, I've been wanting even though, I mean, last gen they did help the generation. They did add a lot of gamers to the industry, and I think then the Kinect kind of took up that slack, even though the Kinect really didn't deserve it. Really, the Wii didn't deserve it, because that's one of the worst consoles when we look at this overall lineup. But at least it did add gamers, to the industry. But, I mean, with this, it just is weird. They don't have any big games until 2014, and the console came out in 2012. Like, that's really weird. And Mario in a cat suit is probably the laziest thing ever. Speaking of lazy, like, you know what's cute on the internet? Cats. You know what our biggest franchise, our biggest hero is? Mario. Let's put them together.
Yeah, that was not good. That was very flagrantly lazy.
Yeah, it's almost like they took a poll and they just asked like casual gamers, asked women, you know, what would you like to see in Mario? And then all these lonely old women said cats. And then now they added cat suit Mario.
Damn. Yeah, it's bad. If you put it like that, yeah. What's up with Zelda? They're doing Zelda again, right? The Wind Waker.
I don't know. I don't talk about Zelda.
I don't follow Zelda anymore.
I don't talk about Zelda. I want Star Fox. If you want me, bring back Star Fox.
Thank you.
Pair it with the Oculus Rift. And I'll be there.
Oh, dude. That
sounds sick, yeah.
Remake Star Fox 64, like, verbatim, almost, you know, everything the same. Maybe put in a few extra tweaks and enhancements. Put on that Oculus Rift. Dude, I would be playing that all day.
Yeah, and don't put Slippy the Toad in that, because which was really a he, which is kind of creepy, was annoying as hell.
Well, you just make them not talk. You just have a toggle option. I don't want Slippy to talk.
But yeah, I still remember that game. That was probably the most fun I had on Nintendo. Like, Super Smash Brothers on N64 and Star Fox 64. Mario 64 is pretty good, obviously.
But yeah, Mario 64.
I had more fun than the other two. I don't know. They've just been remaking Super Smash Brothers, but kind of making it worse each time. And they love Star Fox alone on console.
Oh, man. If we're talking about memories on the 64, dog, man. WrestleMania 2000. Damn, I put some hours into that.
Yeah, I remember wrestling games. Wrestling games were cool in the 90s.
Oh, my gosh. They were so fun. And my friends used to hate me. They wanted to punch me in my face because I was so good at it. And I didn't even own the 64 at that time. So, like, they were just pissed.
We used to just fight over who would be Rey Mysterio. If I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But anyway, this is not E3 talk.
Well, what about predictions? Where do we see these consoles going?
I still think, just overall, I can see the Xbox One selling better. Just from like a mainstream point of view, I don't know. Like I think if they market it correctly, but who knows what Microsoft can do right and what they'll do wrong. But I think that could have more mass appeal than the PS4, because the PS4 is just a gaming machine. Even though it does other stuff, obviously, it has a Blu-ray player, has Sony Pictures backing it up, it has all this other stuff. But when you put that on, like, you know, Good Day America, you put that on, you know, whatever the hell Oprah's doing, I think the Xbox One is more of a standout, and I think that could sell more.
I agree in part with what he said in regards, like, the marketing push that Xbox is going to put behind their product, or Microsoft is, but I'm going to stand by, I think the PlayStation is going to take back whatever, you know, mind share they had before. I think it's going to outsell the Xbox One whenever it releases. And if they play their cards right, because I honestly think that, like, PlayStation at this moment, they don't have any shame in maybe doubling back and, like, saying, like, you know what, we apologize for that, we'll make this even better, or giving you a better reason to do something with your money that helps them. Like, I don't see them having any shame in doing that right now. So that's why I think at this moment, I think PlayStation is going to continue to keep climbing, and it's going to reflect on their sales when it comes out.
I mean, for me, I think that it can go either way at this point. And I'm already noticing what looks like to me a role reversal as far as their online platform, where, you know, Xbox probably going to take that down that wall for gold, and you won't have to pay for online access. But you can pay for that separate membership if you want to get discounts on games, similar to PlayStation Plus, whereas PlayStation is now going to do the pay for online access. That might really revamp their whole system and get people on there. And that's where I'm seeing the role reversal. You might see more people getting the PS4 for the actual online gameplay, and you might see people getting the Xbox One strictly for all the exclusive titles. But the whole DRM thing for me, like, I think that it's not just for the games. Like, everybody's wanting and has been demanding for, you know, dedicated streaming TV service so they can add their own channels. And I think that this is the step that Xbox is trying to take to get there. So that way, content providers like HBO or Showtime or anything will allow Xbox to sell those channels to users, because they want to be an entertainment machine, not just a console for gaming anymore.
I agree, but until that becomes like the mainstream, like, move, and they make that announcement loud and clear, like, hey, you no longer actually need a cable box, you only need to deal with us, like, I think it's just a moot point right now.
Yeah. I don't think it's as impressive as they think it is. Going through a cable box. Like, if Justin, if you were right and they did that, that would be a big deal. I think that could actually maybe get people to spend $500 if they're a casual gamer. But but going through a cable box, I don't think most people even care about that. And another thing with the whole fantasy football thing, you have to be through NFL.com. You can't be, like, through Yahoo or through, you know, these other services. You have to be through NFL.com, which I've heard, like, Yahoo and what, ESPN are more popular than what NFL does for fantasy football.
Well, I mean, as far as everything for these two consoles, I think that what the Xbox has going for it is the fact that they're releasing pretty much a year after Windows 8, and you've probably got a lot of people that are already migrating to it or have bought new PCs to have that, and they're probably going to try to oversell to the point of getting sales the smart glass features. Because having Windows 8, you can do the smart glass, get everything all synced up, you can do stuff in between products. So I think that's something that Microsoft has as probably like a secondary plan if things start to backfire on them, to where they can still get the sales. Unlike Sony, you don't have that except for if you have a PSP to link up with your PS4 or PS3.
Yeah, and just overall, like, Microsoft is a way bigger company than Sony, mm-hmm. as far as, like, money and what they're probably willing to sink into Xbox compared to what Sony, which is, I mean, it's pretty stable, but Microsoft is definitely going to be around for the next 10, 15 years. Sony, if they made a couple bad decisions, they might be bought by someone else. Like, you just never know nowadays. So, I mean, they do have a better, you know, finance backing them up, obviously.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, Sony and Microsoft both, they aren't console makers to begin with. So they always have their main forte they can always lean back on, Windows with their OS and Sony with all their appliances and electronics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say that I think this may actually be the last box we see Sony make. I think they're going to actually do what I was saying earlier, in that they're just going to be a publisher, and they'll just, because they have, what, how many fucking like game studios do they own? They own a grip, but
yeah, they have some good ones, definitely.
So I think they'll just go to, hey, we'll concede on the console side from now on after this generation is over, and we'll just
produce
games. Yeah.
I can see maybe Nintendo doing that. I hope Nintendo does that, so that way I can play Super Smash Brothers online and not rely on some weird Nintendo service to do it. I could do it on Xbox Live or maybe even PSN. Or if I was crazy enough to play Mario Kart, you know, I can play it through those. But that's really the only reason, like, that selfish reason. The only reason I would kind of want Nintendo to get Dreamcast and you know, only be software. But who knows? They still have billions in the bank. It's not like, you know, they aren't starving. They aren't bleeding that much.
Yeah, but go ahead, Justin. Sorry.
I was just saying, I think the world would be a better place if Nintendo just moved to game publishing and moved away from consoles, because it's not working for them.
I mean, I would rather that happen definitely than what I've been saying in the back of my mind since the whole Star Wars and Marvel thing, which is Disney buying Nintendo if they did continue to bleed. I mean, which would take, you know, 5-6 years with them having billions in the bank. But I just don't want, in the back of my mind, just keep thinking, Disney, do not buy Nintendo, please. Don't.
Man, we didn't even talk about Battlefront, man. You said Star Wars, damn.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nothing to talk about. Did they say DICE is working on that, or do we just know EA is?
Oh, that's a good question. I want to say DICE is working on it, but I can't remember. I think it quickly flashed after the end of the trailer, okay. But I can't remember.
I mean, DICE would just be the logical decision there. Just, those games are just so similar. A smart PC modder could almost just make Battlefield 4 into Battlefront with just some vehicle changes and some weapon changes.
Yeah, some quick skins, sure. I agree with Justin. It's definitely a role reversal, and I told Vincent this months ago, and he was,
I was playing, like, devil's advocate, pretty much. Yeah. Kind of like what I'm doing here. Like, I am, even though, like I said, I have both systems pre-ordered, I am leaning more towards getting Xbox One first and getting PS4, like, in February, March. That way I can, you know, play Dead Rising, I can play Battlefield this year, and then by early next year, when Infamous comes out, I can just buy a PS4. Because I doubt either one of these systems are going to be sold out for months like the Wii was. I think it'll be pretty easy. Like, I'm pretty sure right now you still can go to Amazon and pre-order, you know, either one from when I last looked. So I don't think either one of these are going to be sold out, like, past November, if even then. So I have no problem, like, getting one in February.
Yeah. Oh, real quick. They showed the box. So since we know what they both look like, which one actually looks better? It doesn't matter, because it's about what's on the inside.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another dumb thing too. People saying the Xbox looks like trash and the PS4 looks great, or vice versa. They look the same. They look
very similar.
They both have that matte half and then the shiny half. They both are basically rectangles. Obviously, the PS4
has one is slanted and one is not.
One has that incline. The PS4 has the incline. That's basically it. It has more of a bent, like, it almost looks like a battleship that's gonna shoot rockets at you a little bit. But yeah, it's they're both like 80% alike. That's like someone saying, I don't know. That's like someone saying a Dodge Challenger looks awful, but a Mustang is really cool. Like, they look similar. Like, you can't say one looks shitty and the other one looks beautiful.
Yeah, I still lean to the Xbox controller because that's just what I'm used to, but I'm going to give that PS4 one a chance. So.
Yeah, I don't think it fits the triggers, which every podcast, everyone I know who has touched that says that the triggers are fine now. So that was really all they had to fix. And just like all the Xbox had to fix was the D-pad. And everyone said they fixed the D-pad. So
see, I'm not thinking I'm going to like the D-pad. Because I like the D-pad on my Xbox controller right now.
Well, you're the like, only person in the world.
well, I have to be fair and say I'm not using the stock Xbox controller. I have the silver one. The one that you can change the position of the D-pad. So.
Oh, okay.
No, it still counts because it came from Microsoft.
Well, I mean, that's not the default one.
But I say it counts.
Okay. So you're saying they should just put that D-pad on the Xbox One?
Absolutely. Like, okay. I love that thing, because you can either make it recessed or you can make it concaved and have that tactile feedback that you want. But with the Xbox One controller, you know, looking at it, I like everything except for that D-pad, because taking away that diagonal press, I think it's going to make it a lot harder if you're like one of those diehard fighting game people. And I have my moments where I want to do that. I'd rather have it all interlinked together instead of having to try to push on both down and left or down and right at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point, yeah, for sure.
You know, especially now that they're re-releasing Killer Instinct when the Xbox One comes out. You know, that was one of my games growing up, a fighting game, and if I have trouble playing it on that controller, I'm going to be like, where can I find the first aftermarket one that's going to have that D-pad that I'm looking for?
And that was probably the one game it showed there that I didn't want to play, but just because I'm not really into, but that is interesting that that's free to play,
yeah, which so, is gonna be cool,
yeah, well, sure, yeah. Maybe depending on what they charge for characters.
Oh my gosh, I know, I was like, they didn't show Cinder, I was like, that is my dude, like, come on.
I don't think I played Killer Instinct, so
I'm having a feeling that the Cinder, you're gonna have to like pay like $199 or you're gonna have to do something stupid to unlock him.
That's whack.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking of Marvel Heroes, which I looked at a little bit, and like, if you want to be Iron Man, you have to pay like, yeah, I don't, I'm just making something up here, but it's like $20 for Iron Man, and then like, you know, $4 for Jean Grey. So like, I hope it's nothing like that for Killer Instinct.
I hope not either. Mm-hmm. But I mean, all the games that I'm seeing now that have either started out successful and started, you know, to run flat within the first year, or games that have mixed reviews, a lot of them are moving to that microtransaction platform because it does sell.
Yeah, and it's always been big in, well, not always, but lately, for decades, it's been big in Asia, which is just something we're just now getting on the Western side of things.
Yeah, especially with, like, the Old Republic has been doing it because they fell flat. I know World of Warcraft has been talking about doing a permanent, you know, pay-to-play microtransaction thing. And I don't think it's just going to be limited to MMOs. I think you're going to see a lot of it, like, you know, probably in the next 5 years, I would hope to see that if you like a game but you don't like the single player, you can just buy the multiplayer chunk of it for, like, $20.
I don't see that happening, but that would be cool. Because that way I could get Spec Ops from Call of Duty, and that's it. Because I don't want to play anything else from it.
Exactly, because I'm not a fan of, you know, there's some games that are good for the campaign, some games that are good for the multiplayer, and I don't feel like I should have to pay $60, $70, $80 for a game just to play 10% of it.
Mm, yeah, I get you.
So, that's what I would hope to see.
Okay, I mean, all right. I think we covered pretty much anything. I mean, pretty much everything, not anything. Yeah, so, was there any like final thoughts you guys want to give, or did you maybe, since this is, I think Microsoft left a bad taste in everyone's mouth. If you could like make some realistic changes to their plan, or even to, if there's anything you think Sony should do, like what would you guys pick? And like realistic, not just like make it $200.
You want to go, Justin, or?
You go ahead first.
My only request, and this would be the only thing I would ask. I don't even care about the 24-hour, you know, authentication. That's fine. The Kinect cannot have to be required to play this system. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you can turn on your system and not actually have to plug it up and have it be optional, like, I'm on board with the Xbox. But because it's not optional... And because, I mean, I don't know if you guys read any of the stories about, you know, Verizon and what they've been sharing with the NSA and all of that. I mean, it's not far-fetched. Like, I don't think I'm being a conspiracy theorist at all that, like, information is being shared because it's continually listening to you and watching you. I mean, damn, it has night vision right now. You know what I mean? So it's like
I mean, either way, especially since I game in my bedroom, either way, I would just point it at a wall. But, I mean, it's still going to listen.
But it still hears you.
Yeah, right? But I'm not saying anything in here, so I don't really care. Is it going to hear me listen to music and, like, play my guitar a little bit? And that's basically in a fan. Like, I'm not talking out loud in my bedroom unless I'm on the... Well, even if I'm on the phone, I'm probably walking downstairs. But, I mean, I do get what you're saying. And the thing is, they have to provide a valid reason for why it won't work with the Kinect. They haven't said why.
Right. You as a gamer shouldn't have to have this thing be so intrusive.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just almost like it's un-American. For, like, the only American company in it is being the least American.
For sure, for sure. So that if that was the one thing I could change, like, it'd be that, because I'm not doing anything illegal myself either. But it's just the fact of, why does this thing have to be this?
Yeah, or at least say why let it be a good reason. But there's no good reason for that.
No. Hey, my simple solution, I'm just going to create an insulated box, put the Kinect inside of it so it can't see or hear anything, and never use it again. It'll stay connected, but it ain't gonna see or hear anything.
Right. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll just put it in a shoebox though, so it'll be
good. I gotta insulate it so it doesn't hear you either.
Right. Put some styrofoam or some egg cartons up. Yeah.
I was gonna use some steel wool, you know, some steel wool insulation.
There you go.
Any real advice, Justin? Other than accessory or privacy accessory, you can buy a game.
You know, honestly, for me, like, you know, the PS4, I want to see that online experience be worth paying for. If it is, then absolutely awesome. The Xbox, you know, besides the Kinect being an issue, I really want to see the used games be handled a different way. I would rather see the games, you know, be authorized or deauthorized per console at your will. And if you buy anything from GameStop, then when you buy it through GameStop, they give you a CD key code or something that will then authorize that game to your console to make sure it wasn't authorized on somebody else's. They just shouldn't lock it up between, you know, your friends only. They shouldn't kill the used game market for that. Because I'm going, like, if that doesn't change, I won't buy an Xbox One. I will get one probably as a gift, or I'll try to get one when it's on sale, but I will focus my time and energy and money into a PS4. Mm-hmm. That is a deal breaker for me.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I would say the same thing, but just renting games. I don't really care about used games. I don't really care about sharing games, because I haven't shared games since, what, high school? So I don't care about that. Just for me personally, not looking at the industry overall, if it can rent games, I'm cool. And I think the 24-hour thing is stupid. I think even 72 hours, it shouldn't be there at all. But at least, you know, 72 hours is better than 24 hours. And, I mean, I'm also curious, do you guys think there's any way that Microsoft changes any of these things, like, this year? Or does Sony have to come out, whoop their ass again, and then Microsoft starts to change?
I think neither. I think that, honestly, enough people are going to complain that they're going to release a hot patch for the Xbox that changes some of their guidelines for how to use the system. And then that will solve the problem. But we won't. I don't think we'll see it until we have at least 2 or 3 million people petitioning against it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning toward Justin. I do think it will be post-release, because unfortunately at this point they cannot go backwards and say, like, you know what, we're going to follow suit with PlayStation, because right now they're the forerunner, so there's no way they can go back until
after. I mean, the thing is, though, at least their vagueness and their inability to communicate can work in their favor, because they were just so vague about everything. They could change without us knowing what they changed. Because they could say, like, this is blah, blah, blah was our plan all along. You know, we have this internal rental system. We have this, we have that. And then maybe they just now thought of it, and it's going to be there at launch. Nothing's very, very specific besides the 24 hours. Like, that would be the only thing we would know that they changed.
Well, the only thing I'm thinking of is, you know, the whole reasoning behind, you know, how I think they're going to change the used game thing is basically, you know, from history. They released Windows 8. People got extremely upset and pissed off because they didn't have the start menu anymore. And, you know, it took millions of people petitioning against it. And then Windows is like, okay, we made a mistake. Here's your start button back. But, I think it's going to be the same type of situation where, you know, on the PC, they're releasing Windows 8.1, which has a start button, but it's not the actual start menu. So we may see a change as far as their used game handling, but it'll be only like a half-assed fix. It won't actually be a full solution. That's what we want.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can see that happen. I am, even though from listening to this, it might sound like I'm more on Microsoft's side, I'm rooting for Sony to kick their ass, so that way they can change and actually have rules that make sense. The only thing that's tugging me more towards Microsoft is, like I said before, their games, and that's really what it's all about. I don't want to spend $400 on a PS4 just out of principle against, you know, Microsoft. I want a console where I can actually play the games, but I also want a console where I can get them rent games. So that's why I'm saying I'm being torn in different ways, because, you know, Sony doesn't have anything I want to play exclusive besides Infamous, not counting Transistor, that's on PC. But just the idea that I might not be able to rent games is silly. It's idiotic. That's like saying, here's a Blu-ray player, but you only can watch movies after midnight and before 8 a.m. If you try to watch something between, you know, 8 a.m. and midnight, this shit ain't gonna work. Like, what? Why would I want this Blu-ray player? Like, what are you talking about?
Right. Or your Blu-ray has to at least connect one time to the internet before you can watch it. Like, yeah. that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm shocked they even... And I, when we think about the Reveal podcast and that we did, like, I did say, like, if Microsoft does this, then Sony has to do it. And the fact that Sony didn't do it, I think that's why that Microsoft is looking even worse and even crazier and even dumber than what we thought back then. So I do think they have to change, but I think they have to get Wii U sales numbers and, like, Wii U disappointment in sales numbers before they change. I don't think, unlike Windows 8, where you pretty much have to buy it when you get a new PC, unless you're, you know, lame enough to go to Apple way, you already have it. You don't have a choice. But with, you know, with the Xbox One, you're choosing to do it. So I think sales are going to speak more than a petition in this case.
Well, then again, you may also have the market swiftly change as soon as the Xbox One comes out, where all the new and great titles are only going to be on the Xbox One. You're not going to have a lot of backwards compatible titles being ported over to the 360. So you kind of do get forced into it eventually.
Well, they can go PS4, though, or they can go Wii U. I'm not sure why they would go Wii U, but they can go Wii U or they can go PC. They don't have to go Xbox One. I mean, like I said before, I get why Sony could be cocky after PS1 and PS2, but, you know, Microsoft, you came last with Xbox. You got beat. You know, they had 80-90% of the market. And even Xbox 360, you were still last. You were still third place in sales. So it doesn't make sense for you to be this cocky when it comes to gaming.
Maybe they got something up their sleeves that we're just not aware of yet.
But why wouldn't they not say it at E3? Like, the biggest venue they're going to have, basically. Because, like, even another thing, like, this is just a completely bad PR from a mainstream point of view. Because, like, if you're going to, you know, the homepage for, you know, whatever site, where you see, maybe even CNN, you know, Yahoo, so-and-so, you're going to see articles that are negative. You know, the Associated Press, you can see articles that are negative Microsoft. And then you look in the comments, it's just, you know, hundreds of comments saying, fuck you, Microsoft. I hate you, Microsoft. So even if it's a mom looking like, should I get this for my, you know, kid for Christmas? And they see all these negative articles, see all these negative comments, assuming they don't forget, or even if they do forget and they just associate the Xbox and Microsoft with negative feelings, This is still biting them in the ass. I don't think they have some big secret that they're hiding that's awesome.
Yeah, unless they come out with some plan how movies, you know, handle piracy, that, like, hey, we just re-release the Blu-ray, a DVD, and you can do on demand at home, like, and it's super cheap. That you're right, they're just gonna bite themselves, and it doesn't make sense why.
Yeah. I guess we're all in a nuclear submarine.
Exactly.
What the fuck was he thinking?
And mine has a PS4 in it.
But is it connected to the internet? Oh, wait, it doesn't have to be.
Exactly.
As long as it's not a Wii U. If it's a Wii U, just put it in the torpedo thing and shoot it out.
Use a motion controller to launch it.
I would still say, out of the three, the Wii U is still looking the lamest. even with the Xbox One's problems, I was still, obviously, since I pre-ordered it, I have no problem getting an Xbox over a Wii U. Like, I haven't even thought about getting a Wii U.
I wouldn't. Just not. It's not my cup of tea, and I don't think it's much of anybody else's.
Yeah. But unless you guys have any final thoughts, we can wrap it up.
Nope, just Vincent was wrong, of course.
I don't remember saying anything. Vincent was wrong. What did I say? Like,
go back to the GDC podcast.
The GDC one or the reveal one?
Both.
I don't remember saying anything. I think the only thing I said was, if Microsoft's doing this, Sony has to do it. But that's really the only thing I was wrong about.
No, I remember you thoroughly impressed with the Xbox reveal, and you thought it was great. And
no, hell no. I did not think that.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to lie when there's a record of it, Vincent? That's
I did not say it was great. Check the instant replay. He's trolling. I did not say it was great.
No, anyway, I'm done.
Justin, you want to throw anything out there?
I mean, just from what I've seen, Xbox, big letdown. PS4, kind of boring. Wii U, shouldn't exist. That's pretty much it.
I think that wraps it up pretty well.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything, man. Damn, Justin's hard, man. Damn.
Yeah, all right. Before we go, did you guys want to give out your social media information?
I am at The Jungle Creed on Twitter, and as always, fuck Facebook.
Justin?
No, I don't really use much of the social media.
Okay, so. Cool. You're like me. We have real lives. We don't.
I'm not an attention seeking person on the internet, so I don't need social media.
We don't take pictures of our food. Sorry.
Exactly.
You asshole.
Okay. Well, to the rest of the known world, unfortunately,
yeah.
I have to.
Yeah, we're back in the submarine. Me and Jesse are in the submarine.
Yeah. We're launching out views.
But anyway. Everyone, thanks for joining us. We will hopefully have a Last of Us spoiler cast sometime this month. I can't say when, but yeah, that should probably be our next podcast. Maybe a Man of Steel podcast. If you watch Game of Thrones, go and find our Game of Thrones season 3 podcast. The North Remembers. That was very sad if you watched that show. But anyway, thanks for joining us.
The Twitter is Entertain Fuse, and the Facebook is Entertainment Fuse Web.
Have a great week.